someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
For the past 20 years, he has been one of the most recognizable entertainers in the country. He has reached audiences on film, television, and stage. As a host, actor, writer, director, executive producer, and DJ, and has changed perceptions in the process. He has been putting his talents to use for others in this true sense of truth and service, and his journey will now intersect with Howard University's. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Mr. Nick Cannon. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Frederick.
All right, so you were born in San Diego, California.
Yeah, that's a, you know, coming from a military family, I believe that's how, you know, traveling from North Carolina is how my family got to San Diego, California. And, you know, both of my parents were born there, and then so was I.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your mom and dad and the circumstances you were raised under.
Yeah, I definitely come from an unorthodox household. I mean, my parents were teenagers when they had me. I always tell people I attended my father's high school graduation. Not a lot of people can actually say that. But from that, you know, my grandparents were quite influential and helpful in raising me. While my parents were being raised as well, you know, and kind of getting their life in order. My father went off back to North Carolina to finish his schooling and to become a minister and went to Barber Scotia HBCU in North Carolina. My mom did quite a bit of nursing and things of that nature. So my grandparents were the ones that kind of focus on my upbringing. And, you know, as the years gone on, all of my parents had a great influence over my life. And, you know, sometimes I would be living in North Carolina with my father. Sometimes I'd be living one-on-one with my mom. So I was moved around quite a bit. But I see it as such a well-rounded upbringing because I got a little bit of everything. I'm my mother's only child. I'm my father's oldest child. I'm my grandparents' baby. So I've been everything but the middle child, and I don't envy that at all.
Right. Now, you lived for a while in Lincoln Park.
Yes.
Which is known for gangs and so on. Tell me what that was like and how you avoided some of the difficulties associated with that.
It's interesting because when most people hear San Diego, they're like palm trees, surfboards, Mini Coopers. And up north, there definitely is that. I mean, but I think in every city, you have an inner city or you have a disenfranchised community. And that's Southeast San Diego, one of the closest communities to, you know, the border. So you can imagine when it comes to the drug trafficking community and different non-law-abiding type of activities that can go on in the area of Southeast San Diego, where there was tons of gang violence. The area that I did grow up in was the Lincoln Park community that is probably known as probably the most dangerous community in San Diego. So I was even it's interesting because you're automatically affiliated with the places that you're raised and brought up in, you know, so just by default I was associated, and you have to stand firm in that, you know, you love to represent where you're from and stand. These are the people in your community that you embrace, that you love, and that you also consider family. But honestly, those people in that community wanted to see me strive and make my way out because they saw that I had an opportunity and I had a chance to exercise my gifts. So early on, you know, entertainment was the thing that allowed me to say, hey, I can make it out. And, you know, once I started to see a lot of my peers and friends, you know, lose their lives to gang violence and, you know, being involved in, you know, or seeing drive-by shootings happen right in front of my eyes and a lot of that was a eye-opening experience for me, saying, you know, if I don't do something to better myself and ultimately my community, you know, I may be, you know, one of the victims. So I just focused and buckled down and said, you know, I'm going to take my education seriously, and I'm going to take, you know, my gifts seriously and find a way out. And that's what we did.
So you moved to Hollywood at a pretty young age. You were still a teenager.
Yeah.
What was that like, trying to find your way and find your craft?
Again, like I said, I had been through quite a bit, even at the young age of 15 or 16, just, you know, trying to make it, you know, on my own. And I saw Hollywood as an escape, and it was an opportunity to where it almost was a safe haven. And so I embraced it for everything that it was. So, again, I didn't really have a place to stay. Or, you know, I don't want to get out there and, you know, give you the whole entertainer homeless story. And but, you know, there was definitely some trying times as a teenager to where I wasn't making any money. I didn't have a place to stay, but I knew what I wanted to do. So I'd be standing in front of comedy clubs and waiting for those 3 to 4 minute opportunities to get paid $7 to hopefully get a meal after you get off stage. And but knowing that that's what I wanted to do, and you know, wherever I could be in front of a camera, I was there, you know, dancing on Soul Train, extras on sitcoms, to telling jokes. And you know, ultimately one of those stand-up sets opened a door for me at Nickelodeon, and the rest is history.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Mr. Nick Cannon. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to switch gears a bit, so clearly, you know, you were always focused. You knew you wanted to get into the entertainment industry. I would imagine that you didn't think that you would be as pluripotent as you are. I mean, there's so many facets of what you do, so right. many different areas of the entertainment right. industry that you've gotten involved in. I mean, you're in front of the camera, you're behind the camera, you're in terms of making music. Right. You've been all around almost every aspect of it. What right. is your... As you look at the industry today and you see young people coming in trying to make it, as well as from the African-American perspective of ownership or lack of it in right. the industry, what's your perspective about the industry?
That's an awesome question. I honestly, I consider myself an entrepreneur. It's a word that I created. but it's truly being a businessman and have an entrepreneurial spirit, but still being able to be an artist and an entertainer at the same time, and understand that that truly is a business within itself, and how to create opportunities not only for myself but for others. And I feel right now we're at a pivotal point in our community to utilize our voice and dictate the narrative. Take back control of the narrative of our community and understand our self-worth and our divine identity, and help perpetuate that message and step away from a lot of the social programming ideas of that, oh, you can't do this, or, you know, there's no resources to get this done, or that our community is inferior in some sense to where we can't organize together and ultimately create jobs and occupations in every facet, you know, not just entertainment. But I believe that's, you know, my calling per se, to where I've been able to accomplish so many things in such a short period of time in the entertainment industry, and, you know, have quite a few accolades I could hang my hat on, even in the business sense. But I feel like this is a new stage in my life to where now I can open doors and create opportunities for others.
So with that in mind, why take your journey here to Howard University at this stage? So many things you've accomplished already, so many opportunities ahead of you that, as you just pointed out, you could pick, you know, so many different paths. Why the one to Howard University?
Honestly, I see this as one of the greatest privileges in life, to be here at Howard for so many different reasons. This intellectual journey, this development as someone who has accomplished things in a certain realm, but, you know, academia is truly the next stage of my life. And not wanting to just do it to say, hey, I'm doing it for the degree or doing it for the grade, but to really utilize my voice for the community. I mean, I feel like I'm someone who stands firm and has a loud voice when it comes to, you know, social matters and community issues. But I want to have that real validity of a strong institution that strives in the intellectual capacity. So to say all of that, there's no greater place, there's no better place than the Mecca of Howard University.
Well, you know, students come here not to get degrees, they come to get an education. It sounds like you're going to be one of those students. So you did mention, though, giving back, the philanthropy, the efforts that you have had. I visited you out in L.A., and I remember waiting for you while you were it was a Saturday morning, and you were out at a juvenile detention center.
Inside Out Writers Program. I mean, being someone who's, I've been a writer all of my career, and specifically in the world of poetry, and I got introduced to this program almost a decade ago, and ever since I've been really focused on dedicating my time and being an educator to the young and incarcerated. I go to correctional facilities, you know, as frequent as once a week, Saturday mornings, and teach a class to, you know, minors that have been tried as adults, and, you know, serving life sentences, you know, often. During this process, not only allowing them to utilize their voice and helping them and letting them know that they're not forgotten, that we haven't thrown them away when they get sentences of everything from 300 years or 15-year-olds receiving 85 years. But more importantly, letting this be something that is substantial in this true race for criminal justice reform. You know, I get out there and I often demonstrate and protest the system on many levels. But if I'm not actually in the community and utilizing my time and efforts to actually change from, you know, the ground up, then me chanting and making noise in the media means nothing. So first and foremost, I feel like it's my duty and it's my privilege to reach out to these young men and women, but it teaches me so much. And, you know, again, that coincides with one of the reasons why I would love to partner and utilize the institution of Howard University to kind of further that mission and many other missions for the community.
Now, you have an interesting job with Radio Shack as their chief creative officer.
Yeah. See, Dr. Frederick, that's that entrepreneur in me. Honestly, I grew up having an affinity for the brand of Radio Shack. I mean, that's the place that I got my first keyboard, my first mixer, my first microphone. And, you know, they got into some financial trouble, you know, a couple of years ago. And myself and a outstanding company that I work with called Standard General, a strong hedge fund, went in and rescued the brand and wanted to reevaluate it. And a lot of my ideas, you know, I've had a consumer electronics company since 2010 that has generated, you know, north of $100 million in, you know, electronic sales. And I wanted to take a lot of those ideas that I had already had in my own company and implement them to Radio Shack. So they loved everything that I was doing. The board sanctioned me to be the chief creative officer. And, you know, right now we're doing some outstanding things in the space of marketing and connecting with the community, STEM education, as we turn it into STEAM education, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics is something that's truly important in our community. And as we make that firm stance of being the neighborhood electronics store, it's all about community.
Excellent. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Mr. Nick Cannon, who most of you know as the host of America's Got Talent. But I met as a young change agent who is also now a student at Howard University. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.